Hey, this is John Lee Dumas from EO Fire, and you're listening to Elective Rotation with Pharmacy Joe. You must be prepared to ignite.
What's up, Pharmacy Nation? I'm Pharmacy Joe. Thank you for listening to the Elective Rotation, a critical care pharmacy podcast. This is episode 93. In this episode, I'll discuss an article about high-dose heparin for VTE prophylaxis in obese patients, answer a drug information question about vitamin K, and share a resource for lab assay interference by non-vitamin K oral anticoagulants. I have all the evidence supporting today's show linked up in the show notes at pharmacyjoe.com/episode93. If you know someone who would find this podcast helpful, please share it with them. I've got the first draft written on my book on the pharmacist's role responding to inpatient medical emergencies. And pretty soon I will be posting in the Pharmacy Nation Slack group some title suggestions, and I'll be looking for some help there. So if you're not already in the Pharmacy Nation Slack group, go ahead and head over to pharmacynation.org and you can sign up for free there. The article I would like to share for this episode is titled Safety and Efficacy of High-Dose Unfractionated Heparin for Prevention of Venous Thromboembolism in Overweight and Obese Patients. The lead author is Mishna Joy, and this article is available online in pre-publication form from the journal Pharmacotherapy. The author sought to determine the safety and efficacy of high-dose subcutaneous unfractionated heparin for prevention of VTE in the overweight and obese patient population. The study was a single-center retrospective observational cohort study. It was completed in an academic tertiary care center and examined 1,335 adult patients who weighed over 100 kilos. Patients received either subcutaneous heparin 7,500 units every 8 hours, this was called the high-dose group, or 5,000 units every 8 hours, and this was called the low-dose group. And this was all for inpatient VTE prophylaxis. The authors reported that the incidence of VTE was similar for patients in the high-dose group versus those in the low-dose group for all BMI categories. Bleeding complications were significantly higher for patients in the high-dose group. The proportion of patients with at least a 2 gram per deciliter hemoglobin drop from admission was higher in patients in the high-dose group in obesity classes 2 and 3. And so those are for patients with a BMI of 35 to 40 and greater than 40, respectively. In addition, the proportion of patients who received at least 2 units of packed red blood cell transfusion was significantly higher in patients in the high-dose group who were in obesity class 3, again, BMI greater than 40. And this was 11% needed transfusion in the high-dose group versus 5% in the low-dose group. The authors concluded that administering a higher dose of heparin to patients weighing more than 100 kilos may not impart additional efficacy in reducing the incidence of VTE. However, it may increase the risk for bleeding. Now, the authors included ICU and medical floor patients in the study. Curiously, they found that bleeding complications occurred more frequently in the medical floor patients compared to ICU patients. I was surprised that an increase in efficacy for VTE prevention did not accompany the higher risk of bleeding in patients in the high-dose group. The authors fell a few hundred patients short of their stated goal to achieve 80% power. Therefore, the increased need for transfusion may apply to all BMI categories, not just the higher one. A larger multi-center study could help determine this. The drug information question comes from Pharmacy Brendan in the Pharmacy Nation Slack group. And Brendan asks, has anyone seen a document that correlates vitamin K dose to INR lowering? For example, does 1 milligram of vitamin K lower the NNR by a certain amount on average? And the closest thing I've seen to such a document is actually used as one of the references in the CHEST guidelines for their section on reversing warfarin. And this reference, it's linked up in the show notes at pharmacyjoe.com/episode93. The reference states, for non-bleeding patients, a recent cumulative analysis of the available literature does suggest, however, that the optimal dose of oral vitamin K is 1 to 1.25 milligrams for patients with INR values between 4.5 and 10, and 2.5 milligrams for patients with INR values of more than 10. And remember, this is for non-bleeding patients, where the goal is just to bring the INR back down to range without causing warfarin resistance by giving excessive doses of vitamin K. And the resource for this episode is something that the American College of Cardiology maintains. It's a table that lists the effects of the non-vitamin K antagonist oral anticoagulants on various anticoagulation assays. And again, this is linked up in the show notes. The table includes known effects on the PTINR, APTT, thrombin time, and anti-10A activity for each drug, and it includes a recommendation on the best assay to use for monitoring. Listeners can support the show when they shop using my link to Amazon. It will cost you no extra money, and I will receive a small commission from Amazon. Just bookmark and use my link, pharmacyjoe.com/shop, to take you to Amazon each time you shop. Thank you so much for listening. I'll see you in the next episode of the Elective Rotation.